Today is February 6, 2018. What is your name?
Karen Maris.
And where do you live?
Ashland.
And what's your occupation?
I'm retired.
What did you do before?
I worked for the city of Ashland for 38 years.
Okay. And how old are you?
I'm 75.
Okay. When did you first become aware of the Starbuck fire, hereafter referred to simply as the fire?
When the whistle blew at lunch at the community center at about, I don't know exactly
11:55.
I was going to say about noon. That was the first knowledge of a fire.
So what did everybody think down at the senior citizens?
Well, having known how the wind was blowing and all, we knew it was going to be pretty serious.
So did you evacuate?
Not at that time. We had lunch and everybody went home not knowing yet what was coming.
Okay, and when did you find out that we were going to have to evacuate?
I believe it was a little after 2. Neighbor Janet Harmon and I were visiting on the phone, and she was picking up things that the possibility was that Ashland was going to be evacuated a little after 2.
So did you make plans on what to take and where to go?
Kind of wandered around for a little bit, but Janet did happen to tell me she had a suitcase out, and I thought, well, now that might be a smart thing. So I did get a suitcase, but then I was contemplating, well, now what do I put in it?
Uh-huh.
And at the current time, my husband was a patient in the nursing home in Mead. And one of the first things that came to my mind was I needed all the information I could gather on him and take with me. So I did that, and I did get a few clothes, medicine, you know, began to just kind of gather up money that I knew was in the house, checks.
So when you evacuated, where did you go?
We were told to go to Coldwater, and because I have a brother-in-law and a sister-in-law living there, that is where I ended up.
Did your family know where you were planning on going?
Daughter-in-law Kayla had called about 3 to say, you do know we are to be evacuated, and I said, yes, and I am preparing, and she said she had been instructed by husband Kevin to hook on to the camper and head to Coldwater, and she told me to come to her house, and we would travel together.
So did you take your own vehicle, or did you just go with her?
I took my own car because I had it loaded, and I had my house cat with me.
So about what time did you leave Ashland?
I believe it was 4:10.
Did you see any flames when you left?
Not flames, but I was amazed at how dark it had become very shortly from leaving town at the Gibson place and looking south, you know. Mm-hmm. It was amazing already with the steady stream of traffic exiting.
So were there lots of people exiting at that time?
There was quite a few people. Mm-hmm.
And when you got to Coldwater, where did you go?
To my brother-in-law's house.
Did you stop in protection? Or
no, there were people at that intersection that were discouraging you from coming in and wanting you to go on, too, because I think at that time they were probably evacuating protection, too.
So since you stayed at your brother's, did you have any contact with Red Cross or that going up to the high school?
I only went to the high school to see if Janet Harmon would like to come on down at Ronnie and Talma's, because she had a big dog with her and the animals weren't allowed in the school, you know. And but I did not go in and see anybody from Red Cross.
Did you talk to people that had evacuated when you were at the high school?
No, I just simply got her located and had her follow me to get out of there and back down to my brother-in-law's.
So when you went up to the school, what was the sky like at that time?
It was just like evening here. Wasn't seeing much fire content that I could tell because I really wasn't looking either, you know.
Was there a lot of dark smoke?
I can't say that I saw dark smoke, no.
Could you smell it?
No, I didn't get out of the car. And I didn't notice that even down at my brother-in-law's.
So how long did you stay in Coldwater?
Until about 7. The next morning, it was coming over TV that we were allowed to come back home.
And so, caravan back with a lot of other people, or?
No, it didn't seem like that I was in much of a caravan. Okay. Janet and I traveled together, but there wasn't a steady stream of traffic then.
So when you came back down 160, was it a lot different from when you left Ashland?
Of course, the first thing seeing was the Cohen place, or we used to call it the Mockery place, on the south side road. That was gone. That was my first shock. And then, you know, just seeing what was burnt and all, but the tearjerker was coming over the hill to see the two Wilson houses absolutely gone.
Completely surrounded by black.
And nothing there. I mean, it was just amazing to me how it just wiped out. You know, you might have seen the furnace or the washer or dryer or something, but nothing else.
Were their cars still sitting there?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay, so they'd already taken the cars. So as you went east of or west of Sitka Hill, how that had changed.
That was just amazing. And on the way over, it was amazing how close to the south we were seeing evidence of really bad smoke. And
so when you came back on Tuesday, did you see any flames? Was there anything close enough that you could see flames as you came down the highway?
No, I don't believe we saw any flames. Maybe smoke, but no flame, I don't believe. Might have been a little at the Wilson place. I really can't recall that I really saw anything significant.
Yep. So when you got back to Ashland, did you go home and stay, or did you go help volunteer?
No, I did come home and check things out and kind of just, we didn't sleep at all, hardly, at night. And I had my house cat that I had to let out, and my outside kitties were still there. Uh-huh. Can't imagine what they'd gone through. The porch had the little silty black stuff all over it.
A little ash all over it?
Mm-hmm.
So did you notice any damage around town when you came in, or was it mostly
not just outskirts? Around town, you know, just topping the hill and seeing that we still had a town was just amazing.
Yeah. From all of the reports you'd heard the night before?
Well, that was the real kicker of the whole thing, to know that we were over there and people were back here still, and you could see a picture within a minute of what they were looking at. Pee-wee out at the roadside park, and the sign was in sight, so you knew where he was exactly
right.
Shooting to the cemetery road, and then up on the highway where the crossing sign, where pedestrians could cross the highway for the school. Mm-hmm. And then the one that really hit home was how it lit up the light plant, how close it was to the light plant.
On the north side of town?
Yes.
So did you see a lot of those videos throughout the night?
Yes. Everybody had a phone that was shooting pictures.
Close.
And we passing them around, and yes.
Were you hearing a lot of information that wasn't quite accurate at that time?
No, we didn't have much communication with anybody. There were people there also from protection that had to come from there. And later that night, they tried to get back home, but were turned back and had to come and stay the night, too.
So was there a lot of people staying at your brother's house?
There were about seven of us, yes.
So,
well, Kevin and Kayla, with their camper, they did go on out to the lake, but they stayed there until 10:30, 11 o'clock or so before they went on out to the lake.
So they kind of mingled with everybody
else.
Yes, yeah. So did you help with any of the volunteering after the fire?
Yes, I did go to the school and help feed the firemen.
So what kind of things did you do when you were up at the school?
We had, I think, hamburgers and just helped serve food. And
so how many days were you up there?
I went two different days, I believe.
Were you there the day that the UMW decided to use their meat for they were supposed to have for their meeting?
No, I don't believe I was there. I was there, I think, more like the weekend when we were still feeding the firemen. And
did you go help at the camp?
Yes, I did that too. Made a casserole for it, and then went down when the Methodist ladies were serving food two different nights too.
And so what kind of was your job when you were down at the camp? Did you help serve or clean tables?
Help prepare some of the food and serve it.
So what kind of food did you serve?
We had some Tyson chicken and hamburgers that we fixed both nights, and fixed those with some cheese on it, put on a bun. They went over real well, the chicken did. And
do y'all make sides to go with them?
There were lots of food brought in and things that we did drag out to set out with them.
So when you were down there volunteering, were there a lot of people from the town that went and helped
Yes.
make sure all the volunteers were taken care of?
Well, there was always a good number of volunteers. And
so what would you guess? How many people a night were there?
Oh, I would say anywhere maybe from 12 to 15, 18, I don't know.
So was it kind of a mixture of ages and gender?
Yes, and if people had company, the company came too and helped, and it was fun to get to visit with all of those people.
Did you meet a lot of them and
yes.
find out where they were from?
We had one young woman and her children that were there, and I'm not sure if they were from Michigan, Ohio, and she had told the kids were out of school, and they'd even spent one day visiting at the nursing home, and they really liked it here.
Yeah. So did you see the caravans of hay that came to town?
Yes, there afterward. And
mm-hmm. Did you also help with the clothing that they had?
Was out there at the 4-H building one day. Then we helped daughter-in-law Kayla, and we fed hamburgers to the hay haulers one Saturday, or no, I think it was a Sunday, that brought loads in down for feed and seed, and then, or trucked them on wherever they needed to go. By, you know, that time they could tell where,
which rancher
take
they
the truck
to go
to the farmer or
yeah.
to the rancher.
So when Kayla was in charge of like the all of the clothing that came in, can you describe or tell what type of clothing came and the amount
of clothing?
Well,
some of it was kind of a horror story. It might have looked like somebody had come in, took their dirty jeans off, and shipped them to us. I don't know. There were also some very nice, brand new things. Everything imaginable. You couldn't believe how things came in, and the paper products and the water and the canned goods and clothing, shoes. It was unbelievable.
So where did they store all that?
Well, later on in time, you know, they made contact with some couple out of, I don't know where they were, out of Oklahoma or Texas, and they came and were getting things to serve the people down there, the Indians or people uh-huh. they took care of. And so one hot Saturday afternoon, we were helping load a semi that came from Inglewood first and then loaded at the 4-H grounds and then even went to the BAM house, and we filled a semi that day by the time they got
donated
here.
Clothing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and were there canned goods too? Or did
I don't think there were
that?
Canned goods.
Most clothing?
Mm-hmm.
So did the people who lost their homes take advantage of the clothing that came?
I can't speak totally for that because I wasn't there all the time. But yes, I think some people did. And even yet today at the VAM house, recently I ran into a lady and she was doing some holiday cooking and picked up some Christmas things, you know, pretty yeah. glass trays that when you have nothing, you know, mm-hmm. that
when
was appreciated.
When you lose your house, you kind of need that stuff.
Right.
Yeah. So About how long did we have, like, the food or the clothing out there and the extra water? Was it like a couple weeks or a month?
I would say or even more than that, because I know some of it even ended up at City Hall, and I know the girls had food out in the old fire bays, you know, for a long time. And quite some time later, my sister Ann had a friend in Wichita, or Yates Center, over in that vicinity, that wanted to bring clothing. And so she rode out with a lady. She was an airline hostess.
Yes.
And she brought a whole carload of very nice kitchen things and some clothing and some canned goods.
So, did you see other people that had done that, that had brought, like, Tupperware and different things?
Yes, when I was at the 4-H building, a gentleman came in and told he was from Texas, and he brought up quite a few paper products and water.
Lots of water?
Lots of water. At the school, you know, we had a whole wall in there full of stacked water.
So what's your most vivid memory of the fire?
The heartbreak of coming over the hill.
Yeah. Let's see this. You've lived out here in this part of the country most of your life, all of it, and you've seen grass fires before. Is there any way that you can compare this fire to what normal grass fires are like? And how did that color your perception of how this fire would go before you found out it was a large fire?
Well, at 11 o'clock that morning, I had been at the courthouse, and coming out, I met Mike Hardin, and we stood, and we had a visit, and this would have been about 11 o'clock, and that wind was really kicking up, and we just talked about how serious matter probably was going to happen, you know, or could happen. And then when the whistle did blow, you know, it was just tremendous. Nothing I've ever compared to in my lifetime.
So in all those years you worked at City Hall, you had a way to keep in touch with the firemen when they were out.
I can't imagine what we owe that group of people. And then to think the few that did stay here and keep our town, you know, we could have been wiped totally out. It must have been a long night. And they were all over the perimeter. You could tell that in the pictures being sent to Coldwater and what we were hearing. But I don't think people can think well enough about what those few people and the firemen, I can't imagine how they had the stamina, and that we didn't have any serious loss except the one truck driver, and how lucky we are.
So who were some of the people or agencies that proved most helpful, either during, before, or after the fire?
Well, I think there was just so many volunteers that gave and gave and gave time and food, and it was just amazing to hear the firemen that we were feeding from as far away as Colorado and who knows wherever. A lot of the trucks, you didn't know where they were from until you could see on their truck. Yep. But also they telling us that they had never been treated like they were treated here. Yep. And I thought that was spoke very well of us.
Yes.
It wasn't anything that we thought we didn't have to do, It was just what we would do.
Yep.
It's the way we are.
So there were a lot of volunteers here. Were you amazed or surprised at the number of people came? And so you said you got to talk to some of them. Did they mention why they decided to come?
Most of them were just out of the kindness of their heart, you know, knew they didn't have much, but maybe they could do something. And
how did most of them hear about the fire and the consequences of the fire?
I really don't know. In December, I did take a trip to Boston with a sister.
Uh-huh.
And that was a group from Kansas City, And one night in Boston, we were sitting around a table, and I had a sweatshirt on that said Ashland on it, and a lady across the table said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Ashland, Kansas." And she said, "Oh, where you had the fire." I said, "Oh, you knew about that?" And she said, "Yes, I was in Wichita that weekend or shortly after and saw the trucks of hay coming through with the American flag strapped on them and all." Uh-huh. And she said she had seen it on TV. Uh-huh. But also, a former teacher of mine in high school called recently to tell me that he knew about it and called David George and said, "Hey, what's going on?" And David said, "I don't know what you're talking about." And he said, "Well, I think you're on fire." And David was amazed at how he could be told that. So, you know, if you pay attention or you're looking, I guess there's everything on the news.
It's true. So, fire had a lot of toll on people and cattle and just the community itself. What are some of the effects, physical or financial or emotional, that you've noticed?
Well, I think we've always been a caring community, but I think we're much more aware of what our fellow ranchers and neighbors have gone through, and to have so many people that totally lost their households and what have you. You know, we have so much to be grateful for and take so much for granted.
So is there anything, can you perceive of anything positive that came from the fire?
Oh, yes, the good in everyone, you know. And there were a lot of people that probably didn't have a whole lot of means of being here, but yet they came, and it was the least we could do to feed them and give them housing for all they've done for us.
So have you or can you do something to prepare for a future fire?
Well, I could, but am I going to?
Yes.
But I do think it makes you mindful of how quickly your life can change. You know, a flashlight or a pack of water, or, you know, whatever you could pick up in a hurry and take cover somewhere, you know.
So what do you think the community could do? Are we well prepared, or have we made better preparations since the fire? Or,
well, having, you know, just heard how all these people in charge got through this and accomplished all it's just a miracle how that all came together, and the people that came in here to help the Ashland people do what they needed to do. I'm sure it's a learning experience. It's a learning experience for all of us to have experienced it, but to think how we came through that in such grand fashion, I think, is pretty miraculous.
Have you shared your experience with other people?
When I told my sister Ann in Wichita about it, and she's very emotional.
Yes.
And she belongs to a quilt guild, and she went to the quilt guild, and they have been very generous in giving quilts, you know, quilts of valor and everything. And so she told her story that I had told her. And after that, a lady in charge came up to her and said, "Ann, we want you to pick out a quilt for your sister." And Ann said, "Oh, no, she didn't lose anything." And they said, "No, we want you to pick out a quilt for your sister." And so she did. I have a beautiful quilt. It's on my bed, and I don't. I can't forget about how I got that and what transpired, and that was just miraculous. You know, they didn't need to do that, but
it's nice of them to do that.
And I let Ann was here not so long ago, and we were out in public and ran into a lady who happened to lose a home, and so we were telling her this, and she said, "Oh, I got a quilt from that group too."
Oh, cool.
So
there were quite a few quilts that came to town.
Yes,
there
were.
That?
Yes, there were.
And do you know, like, how they...
They were put in churches for anyone to pick up, or... Yes, people were very generous with their...
And I hear there's a few more left that they're storing still.
For other tragedies, that's a good thing.
Do you have any other thoughts about this experience that you'd like to share?
Well, my favorite story is that in thinking what you should take and what's valuable to you, I didn't pick up a photo album. Your mind is just so muddled. Like I said, I took up the important papers that I thought I needed. And somewhere down the road, I thought, well, I didn't take my sewing machine. And that's a pretty valuable thing in my mind now that I'm retired.
And you're quilting.
Yes.
Right?
But I hadn't given it a thought. But fortunately, it was there when I got home.
So have you thought of you talked to your sister Ann, but what about your other family?
I purchased a fire book for all of my sisters and my brother. And
did they all know that you were safe during the fire, or did they know where you had gone? Did you have any, correspondence with them?
No, I don't know that they did, and I didn't communicate with any of them at that time.
And did they know about the fire at the time it was going on?
I can't say that they did, right at that time.
Mm-hmm. But later.
Later.
Did they call you or did you call them?
A little bit of both, I have them scattered all over, so some of them could tell about it, but...
So what did they think about the fire book?
They were impressed, and they'll be more impressed with this next production.
Yeah. We hope. So anything else you'd like to share?
Well, just that... It was something I probably could have lived my whole life without, but I'm amazed I handled it as well as I did.
Yeah.
And not being touched anymore. I feel for the people who lost so much, though.
Yeah. So, thank you for sharing your experience with us. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you.